The board regulates commercial, sport, and subsistence fisheries across Alaska. Its meetings focus on a different region every 3 years. They can attract hundreds of people from the industry and the public to testify on proposed changes to allocations and fishing rules before the board and dozens of agency staffers. The board's executive director, Glenn Haight, outlined the cleaning, distancing, and other precautions that could be required for holding in-person meetings, especially in winter, the middle of cold and flu season. Those include having redundant staff ready to fill in if a person is sent home sick.
And it's inconceivable for those of us who have been to these meetings to think that we could get through a board meeting where no one gets sick. I mean, not of COVID, but just of a common head cold. And according to what we set as our rules, if you're sick, you need to leave and go get tested.
The board has a work session scheduled for October. After that, the schedule had a week-long meeting to consider finfish and shellfish regulation changes for Prince William Sound. That was planned in mid-December in Cordova. The next Southeast Alaska finfish and shellfish meeting was planned for Ketchikan in early January. For that, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, fishermen, advisory committees, and tribes have submitted over 150 proposed changes to regulations. Support staff recommended holding the fall work session online and pushing back the Prince William Sound and Southeast meetings to sometime in 2021. Fish and Game put out a survey this summer on the meeting format and received 234 responses. Those ranged from requests to delay the meetings a year to skepticism that the pandemic is a real threat. Some staffers and members of the public questioned whether the board process would work in an online format. Fish and Game Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang said he did not see how the state could conduct in-person meetings in Cordova and Ketchikan as soon as this winter.
Both Cordova and Ketchikan would love to host these board meetings, you know, because it brings economic benefit to those communities, and it's an opportunity for them to have a meeting in their community. But again, when we're talking about bringing in, you know, 50 to 60 people into a meeting, into a community as small as Cordova, that is somewhat problematic in terms of how we deal with testing, how we deal with public health, and a variety of other things.
Officials and board members both highlighted the importance of in-person public participation and staff support while drafting new regulations. Board member John Wood said he was not interested in holding meetings online.
And I'm hoping that we're not going to put off life entirely waiting for a vaccine to be developed. I can only point out that flu vaccines are given on an annual basis, and the rate of death is still pretty significant among that group, and I don't see that changing with COVID. I think COVID's going to follow that same track, and it's about time that we in the public at least start putting our lives back together and have some kind of normalcy. And
Board Chair Merritt Carlson Van Dort also did not want online meetings, with the exception of one for next month.
I think that there is an incredible amount of important insight, information, discussion, compromise that wouldn't be allowed to take place in that format. However, for the purpose of October, it is my opinion that I think we could probably sort our way through that in a virtual format, given the restrictions in Anchorage and whatnot, and just the uncertainty there. And
Alaska's largest city last month instituted a 30-person limit on indoor gatherings. The board agreed that staff would come up with plans for holding the Cordova and Ketchikan meetings in person. Those could be in March, April, or May of next year, depending on the status of the pandemic and health protocols. They also agreed to hold next month's Anchorage work session online. That meeting will include whether or not to consider some proposals out of cycle. The board also hopes to identify pressing issues that need decisions before the springtime meetings. In Southeast, those could include status of stocks of concern and king salmon management measures. Also on the agenda for the October work session, the status of board nominees who have not been confirmed. And another topic will be conflict of interest for board members and their participation in decisions that could benefit them. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.